everybody. Welcome to this week's Good Work Show. We're excited to be back with you for another really good show. And we're going to be covering a topic that is definitely relevant for the time, but also sort of one of those ones where you just shake your head and try to figure out, like, why is this an issue and how you can help.
Yeah, and so we're talking with Deborah Richardson with the International Human Trafficking
Institute. Yeah.
And we spoke with her a couple of weeks ago, so you'll, we didn't have a wardrobe change in the middle of the show, but we
did talk to her. Oh, that would be kind of cool if we did.
I know, we should think about that for future shows. But what she had to say was just so surprising. Mostly because you think about, especially these kind of weird times that we're in right now, my assumption would have been, I guess naively, is because more people are home and there seems to be, and fewer people are traveling, that there's less room for shenanigans.
Yeah.
Which,
you know, doesn't sleep, apparently.
No, and it changes.
Yes.
And so it's really, this is a really good conversation, and she kind of highlights and illuminates some things that you may not think of, what you may not think of as being human trafficking. So I think so often we talk about human trafficking in the idea of sexual exploitation, which of course it is, but she kind of broadens that scope for us and talks about some different ways that people are being taken advantage of. And it's a really interesting conversation. So I was really glad that we got to talk to her about this.
Yeah, definitely. And just make sure you tune into the show. We asked her, as we have done with the previous guests that are working in this space, what can the average person do? I mean, you can always, on any of the nonprofits that we have on the show, you can always, like, volunteer with them, you can send financial support, but this is an issue where if you spot it, you can help. You can learn how to spot human trafficking, you can learn how to work with your local law enforcement organizations to stop it. And unfortunately, we're in a metro area that is known for human trafficking, and it's sad, but there are things that we as average people can do to learn what to do, and just advocate. No matter if you decide to support financially or volunteer, which you can absolutely do, but there are just simple things that we all can do, like keeping your eyes and ears open. So make sure you tune in to the entire interview so that you can get to those pieces of it, because it is not necessarily, like Trini said, what you normally think. I mean, there are people who might live next door to you, unfortunately, or in your neighborhood, and you just might never even know.
And one of the examples she talks about, and I want to put this very, I want to be responsible with how I say this, but in one of the examples explicitly that she brought up, you could be participating and not know. So, and it's just one of those things where it's not something that you would think about as human trafficking. You're not realizing that people are being exploited. So part of that responsibility, one of the big words of the summer, I think, has been allyship, and recognizing how your actions and the stuff that you're doing plays into some of these things that are going on. I think she really does open your eyes to what this issue is, what the totality of what this issue is and what it looks like from their point of view and what they're working to overcome. So beyond the idea of, like Elaine said, you know, donating and volunteering, or if you see something, you know, say something, calling the appropriate authorities or whatever, but also how do our actions play into some of these systems where other people are being exploited, I think is a really important part of the conversation that we had with Deborah. So all good stuff and timely, because there are some things that are going on with this pandemic that are actually causing the issue to be worse. So all that to say, I feel like we teased it out. So hopefully folks are going to listen.
I hope everybody's going to tune in and see it through, but it's a good one. But we're back, like we said, with more guests covering nonprofits that are in our area. So we want to remind you too, that if you know of organizations that you'd like to see on the show or you'd like for us to highlight, please make sure that you reach out to us at goodworks@ging.org. We'll try to put something up in the post so that you can get our email address. But you can also follow us on social media, Instagram, and on Facebook and on Twitter, Good Work Show. Our YouTube channel is active. Of course, if you're listening to this on your podcast, you're hearing us on all your podcast favorite platforms. But just make sure that you get, there's so many nonprofits. We've had about 400 or so on the show. There's so many more that we would love to talk to and cover issues that we'd like to tackle. So make sure that you send us those recommendations, and we're going to bring you some more content. But we're excited about talking to Deborah and uncovering and unpacking some issues on human trafficking in our area.
Yeah. So we're going to have, actually, we have a pretty good lineup of some additional guests. We've been really, I mean, everyone we've talked to recently has really just seemed very timely, and it's all, the content's always good, but what we're trying to also make sure that we're doing is recognizing this new normal that we're in and talking to folks that are out there doing the good work, even in these strange times. So we've had a good run of guests that we've had on in the last few weeks since we've come back. We've got some people lined up right now going into election season. We're not telling you who to vote for. We're just asking that you participate. So we're going to talk to some folks in the coming weeks just to kind of help people understand how you can do that. So we've got a lot going on, but we're always happy to be here. I think, I don't know.
Yes, we are. All right, folks. Well, let's get into the interview with Deborah, and we will see you next time. Welcome to this week's Good Work Show, everybody. We are excited because we have a special guest with us today. Her name is Deborah Richardson, and she is the Executive Director for the International Human Trafficking Institute. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So why don't you start with telling us a little bit about your organization and the mission of International Human Trafficking Institute.
Sure. So we actually started about 2014, and our work has been focused on how do we build a community-wide momentum for no tolerance for boys and girls to be exploited for sexual or labor purposes. And we do this a couple of ways. One is we do training. Our goal is to train 50,000 people in the metro area on how to recognize human trafficking, and when they recognize it, what to do about it, but more importantly, what we can do to prevent it. And we also work with organizations, particularly youth-serving organizations, so their workers understand how to recognize the signs that a child perhaps has been exploited, and also how to incorporate preventive programs within their natural curriculum.
That's a lot. So that's a lot for us to dig into. And one of the things, we've talked to some organizations here. We know that human trafficking, of course, is a major issue around the world. And then we've had folks kind of talk about what it looks like here in Atlanta. But we always like to assume that people don't know what's going on, so give them a little bit of a refresher. So can you break down for us just what does this issue look like here in our metro Atlanta area?
Okay, the issue looks very different than what people think. For instance, when we talk about human trafficking, our primary focus is on sex trafficking. but we have found that there are actually a larger number of young people who have been exploited by labor. For instance, particularly boys, they get recruited to be on landscape crews or work on construction sites, and they end up being exploited. Like they say, you're going to make $100 a day. And at the end of the day, they only get a fraction of that because the exploiter says, oh, well, you remember you had lunch break, so we had to deduct that 30 minutes out. You know, we had to pick you up from your neighborhood, so we're going to charge a fee for that. And so particular parents, now that we're in the middle of this pandemic, they think when their kids are getting these jobs, hourly jobs, so cash at the end of their job, it's a good thing. They think it's a good thing. But they really need to investigate who is it that's approaching these children and exactly if that company has legitimacy. Now, that's one end. The second part of a lot of people think human trafficking occurs when a child is walking down the street and someone snatches her and puts her in the back of a van. That is not how human trafficking happens here in Atlanta. The primary source of children being approached is online. Since the pandemic, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have had 2 million calls of reports of predators approaching children online. These predators are where the children are. They're on the gaming sites, Minecraft. They're on the Snapchats. They're on the TikToks, pretending that they are a child, a young person, a teen just like themselves, but they're a predator who's grooming them. The other thing that we have found since the pandemic is there are a lot of children who have been exploited by either a relative or someone that they live with. Because just think about it, a child is at home all day, the mother has to go to work, she asks her neighbor, if you will keep my child or make some kind of informal arrangement like that. And how that exploitation works is that the exploiter takes pornographic photos and make lewd videos and post those online. So all the examples I just gave you have been data that we've collected. The GPI has made several arrests in the past 3 months of predators approaching children online, as well as there's been a huge uptick on pornography sites. And unfortunately, the younger that child is, the more money that viewer would pay to watch the act.
Wow. That just makes your stomach turn.
It does.
To really hear how not only prevalent the problem is, but how deep and just kind of sorted that the issues are. Talk about some of the programs and things that you have. I know there's a lot of data collecting, and you mentioned teaching people how to spot it. So, talk a little bit about how you're teaching that. What are some of the things that, you know, we as, you know, everyday citizens can be looking out for? What should we do if we spot it? Who should we call?
Thank you very much for asking me that. We have 2 free online Zoom trainings that we do weekly, several times a week. One is an overview of labor and sexual exploitation, with the goal is to learn something, see something, do something. The second one we do is what you need to know to protect youth online, and that talks specifically to what I shared earlier about the number of kids who have been approached online by predators. And both of those are free. You can go to our website, humantraffickingproofgeorgia.org, and sign up for those trainings. We also have a online shorter training that is accessible 24/7. So let's say you work at night, so you're not able to, you're sleeping during the day, so you really can't take the time for free real-time training. You can go online and take this overview that will give you almost all of the same information. And both of those on humantraffickproofgeorgia.org. The other thing we're doing is we're having conversations about all forms of human trafficking. For instance, last week we had one on labor trafficking. On this coming Wednesday, we will have a show on how a male survivor, a person who was exploited when he was young and talks about his experiences and what he had to do to overcome that. We're gonna have a program coming up in a few weeks, Bruh, What Were You Thinking? And is targeted for young boys. I'm sure you all are familiar with the Janalo Wilson story, the young man who was given 10 years prison for having what they call aggregated rape because he was 17 and his girlfriend was 15, and how the Supreme Court overturned the sentence. And so after 2 years, he was able to get out. He was accepted by Morehouse College. He graduated. And now he started his own mentoring organization and has two daughters. So he talks about how in a moment making a wrong decision, how that will impact your life. So we're doing real time, real issues, but we also want to give people the tools so they can protect themselves and their children from being trafficked.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead,
Elaine. Well, I was just going to ask, how can people find out about the Zoom calls so that we can share that information? How can they sign up? Because I think there'll probably be a lot of people interested, particularly if you're doing them on an ongoing basis, to be able to log in whenever they can, because, you know, they're at home and they may have the time to do so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, all of these can be found on our website, which is humantrafficproofgeorgia.org, which is what that's our goal, to shift societal will so there is a no tolerance for not even one child being exploited in the first place. So we are out there to Human Traffic Proof Georgia, and that's how you can find our trainings.
Great. That's fantastic. And honestly, this is the first time that I've heard anyone talk about human trafficking from the labor point of view. Mm-hmm. And I could see, and one of my questions was going to be, but you already answered it, kind of how is the pandemic impacting what's going on? Because on one hand, you're like, well, everybody's home, so maybe things are better. But when you started talking about the labor stuff, I could completely understand how that could come into play as people are looking for work. You know, everybody in the house is trying to contribute. What can we do? And you've got young kids out there, you know, doing stuff and getting taken advantage of. And then you probably don't have the same kind of supervision. Kids aren't exactly in school. There's so many more opportunities for them to be taken advantage of. So that's a really big deal. And I hope people do log into those Zoom calls to find out, because that's just something I never considered.
You're right, Trenise. And I'm so afraid. I get it. If I had a child, I would not want them to go back in the classroom. But we're really going to continue this trend of children being at home. More and more of them are going to be left alone because their parents are forced to go back to work. And you have no idea who's approaching them online, you know, who they're talking to in the middle of the night. As a matter of fact, you can check this out in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. About 2 months ago, there was an arrest of a man in Johns Creek who, when they found him, he was in the car with a 13-year-old girl, and he had his pants off. He had met this child online and convinced her to sneak out of the house and come and meet him for a date. So this is how this plays out when you don't know who your children are talking to online.
Yeah. Wow. Deborah, what else should the public know? What else can we do? Are there ways to support you and the International Human Trafficking Institute or other organizations? Like how can we be empowered to, you know, kind of take back our community from what's going on?
Thank you for that. The first thing is we have a coalition. It's a multi-sector coalition. It's made up of businesses, schools, public sector, faith groups, civic organizations, nonprofits, community groups. And we really would love for you to go online and sign up to be a part of that coalition. Because what we want to do is we want to train groups within groups. You know, out doing training one-on-one is good, but it would be a lot better if an entire faith congregation, for instance, said, we're going to go through and have it trained, or we want you to talk to our young people. So that's what we encourage in groups, fraternities, sororities, any of those groups. You know, we want to train the entire group so that we can begin to build a web of support for our children. So that's the first thing. If someone is a member of a group, please invite us to come in and do training for you. The second thing is, when the fall comes, we want to start having virtual community conversations, because the one piece of human trafficking that we have always consistently not focused on, and that is the business model of trafficking. Human trafficking occurs because there is someone, primarily a man, who wants to buy to explore to have sex with a child. 26% of men who get convicted of having a sex sex with a child, never spend a day in jail. That is absolutely intolerable. You know, think of Jeffrey Epstein, for instance. And so because there's not a public will to hold these guys accountable, and that's something as a community, we have got to stop that. It's absolutely unconscionable. And in a recent study we did, it was 3 years ago, we found that in Metro Atlanta, the majority of men who are online looking to buy sex with a child live north of 285, married, children of their own, and make $100,000 or more a year. So they're not who we think it is. It's someone very different who are doing predatory behavior on our children.
Wow. All great information for us to know, for us to be aware of, but lots of opportunities to act and to do something.
So, absolutely.
So audience, we definitely want you to check out the International Human Trafficking Institute to learn as much as you can about this issue. Plug in wherever you can in terms of whether it's on the legislative side, whether it's on the, you know, the awareness side, or volunteering. There's lots of opportunities for you to get involved. Deborah, to you and your team and the coalition of folks that you're working with, thank you so much for not only just highlighting this issue, but taking on the hard task, because it's very complicated, complex. There's lots of ins and outs to it, and we just appreciate the work that you are doing to help keep our youngest and most vulnerable safe. So thank you so much.
And thank you for giving me the platform to talk about this important work. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you.